You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My mother always told me in later years that when we were children, we would not let her tuck us into bed at night until she read all of our favorite nursery rhymes out of this book from start to finish. Even before we were big enough to read, we heard them night after night. The three little pigs and all the rest of them, I can't even remember the names of them, but my mother used to say she was so tired from working all day that she would sometimes leave out a few lines, and I would stop her immediately and say, "Mommy, you left out a line," and she'd have to go back and pick up and fill it in and everything else. That was part of our upbringing, part of our early education. Listening to these nursery rhymes and fairy tales, that was the early part of our education in good and evil, right and wrong, and all the values that we were supposed to take in. And I'm sure you all had similar experiences, at least if you are at least my age. They always began, remember, once upon a time, and then the story unfolded. And there was a bad guy and a good guy, or several of each. And in the first part of the rhyme or the tale, the bad guys always had the upper hand. But then something happened and things got turned right, and the good guys won out. And the nursery rhyme always ended, and they lived happily ever after. The formula was the same, and I think it was meant by way of story, a very simple story, to teach us that good triumphs over evil, at least in the long run. And that's just the way we learned, and the way people learned through most of human history before reading and literacy became prevalent, by storytelling and oral teaching. And so we should not be surprised if we find Jesus in that grand old tradition in the gospel today, and in so many other ways that Jesus taught. Jesus was, among other things, a great storyteller. And that's the way he got his point across. And that's exactly what this story in today's gospel, according to Luke, is all about. Jesus says, "Once upon a time, there was a rich man and a poor man." And you heard the story unfold, the first half. The rich guy had everything and the poor man had nothing, and it seemed fairly hopeless. Then they both passed on to glory, and they got what was coming to them. The tables were turned, and Lazarus, at least, was in the bosom of Abraham and lived happily ever after. And you know what happened to the rich guy. It's a wonderful story. It's the very same plot of all the nursery rhymes and the fairy tales that we were taught as children, that good is meant to triumph over evil. Now, in the other scripture that we had in the first reading this evening, we get some more of somebody we had last weekend, Amos the prophet. Remember, Amos last week was going off about business ethics and things of that nature. Well, he keeps right on going today. And like Jesus, Amos is really on a roll here. He didn't fool around. He's talking to rich people who were comfortable in their ways and could not see beyond the tips of their noses to the suffering that was around them. "Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying on beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches, eating from the lambs taken from the flock, improvising music on the harp, drinking wine and one." And He just doesn't mince any words. He describes exactly how people who are caught up in riches can become so absorbed in their own personal enjoyment and pleasure. And he says, they are not even made ill by the collapse of Joseph. In other words, there were social problems, poor people like Lazarus in Jesus' time, suffering immensely, and the people who controlled the wealth could not see it because they were so taken up with their own pleasures. And Amos says, and this is what really got him, I guess, in trouble. He says, these people are going to be the first ones to go into exile when exile happens, and everything that they have been doing is going to catch up with them. But then the poor, as always happens, shall live happily ever after. So we have some wonderful scriptures here in this particular year and at this time of the year. Jesus telling his stories and snatches from the Old Testament prophets. We ought to learn from these things. And so I think it's a good opportunity to take the themes of these scriptures this weekend and check ourselves on how comfortable and insensitive we can become unless we are very careful. I grabbed a book off my shelf earlier this morning. It was written 30 years ago by a professor. I don't remember his name even. But it was written back in the early 80s or whatever when television was just coming in. And it's just a wonderful book. It's entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. And this author goes through, at least as it existed 30 years ago, how television was causing us to be obsessed with amusement and constantly having a need to be entertained and flattered and everything else, and becoming short-sighted on some very other important things. And I think it's just a good reminder, because since those days 30 years ago, we've gone from television to every form of electronic amusement that you can imagine. It even comes in now on your cell phones, I'm told. Not on mine. Mine's an old-fashioned one. But there's just no end to the 24-hour-a-day input of entertainment and amusement that is available to us. And if we're not careful, we can begin to see that as normal and something that we have a right to. And I think we need to reflect on this at several different levels. I noticed a few children coming in and with their parents this evening. I have no idea how one would raise children today and protect them from the miseducation that comes with modern nursery rhymes. Because unfortunately, unlike when we were growing up, good does not always win out over evil. As I've observed some of these things, looking over the shoulders of kids and their little screens and things that they move around, I couldn't tell you how much death and destruction you see. Ray guns and people are getting zapped and annihilated by the dozens. And you are rewarded for death and suffering. And I would suggest, maybe I'm just too old-fashioned, that there's something sick about that form of education. And if I were a parent of young children, I would have to find a way to teach them through stories and good teaching what the real values are. Because let's just face it, there are too many young people at a tender age growing up this day and age thinking that violence is acceptable and suffering is just par for the course. And I think we as Christians and as people who guide our youth have got to take a stand, even if it's in a minority, to see that our young people are educated in a way that they respect life and that they are compassionate and that they don't become like these people that the prophet Amos was talking to. That's a tough job, and that's what we as those who raise children have to do. But then we have to ask ourselves, how are we behaving as adults? Where are we? Have we kind of succumbed to the mass culture of constant entertainment and amusement? Do we demand everybody who comes into our presence entertain us? Do you expect me, when you come into church, to put on a show and to entertain you from the pulpit? That's not what it's about. The purpose is much more serious, to tell the truth and to make us sensitive and responsible disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, as adults too, we have to monitor ourselves, particularly how we are being bombarded by the entertainment industry, and draw the line, realize that all these devices that we have in our cars and our pockets and everywhere else, most of them still have a button called off. Did you know that? There is an off button on your TV and on your phone and all these things. Might be good to check yourself, do you ever turn it off? Because if we don't, we can become so bombarded and so used to this constant input of entertainment, often violent and loud, that we think it's normal, and then we become insensitive to those who really need our attention. So that's what we're supposed to do when we come to church. We gather here Saturday or Sunday, the Sabbath, which is a day of rest and enjoyment, not entertainment, but a day of rest and happiness, nevertheless, to tell the stories in the scriptures and to celebrate communion together, which is really the true form of happiness. If we do that, and if we learn the lesson, then the last line of all those tales will be true. We too will live happily ever after. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.